Morning.
Good morning.
There we go. I can be honest here. I think we're all a bit tired still. I don't think I've danced that much in quite a long time, but we can say that it was a good reason to dance. It was a good reason to celebrate. And now that we're in the house of the Lord, let not our praise, our dance,
yes,
stop.
Yes.
But let it shift towards who he belongs to, who it belongs to. And that is only the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to have you stand. We are going to get straight to work today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We are still in this series of going over 1 and 2 Thessalonians, talking about the evangelistic church. And so today's story is how Paul is sending Timothy to the Thessalonians, and what Timothy is doing in this area. And I can honestly say it's really coincidental on how I landed up here on this particular chapter rather than Pastor Kwan and Pastor Dave, because I myself am a Timothy in my own aspect. Having a Paul in my life, having two Pauls in my life, guiding my steps. And so I thank both of them for their wisdom and guidance in my life such far. But as we look at Timothy in this particular situation, I think it's all for us as well. That what he did is what we ought to adapt in this term of society and what we ought to do in this church. What is our job? And so we're going to lay out the foundation of what is our job, what are we supposed to be doing, what is God doing, and what is Satan doing in the midst of all of this. And it only comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 through 20, and then we will go to chapter 3 and read that chapter as well. It says, 17, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in your heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Isn't it not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." Chapter 3. "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it would be good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother, a minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. For, in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulations, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you." Lest by some means the tempter has tempted you. "And our labor might be in vain." See, right there alone is not just us in this fight. Verse 6, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, and we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our afflictions and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can be rendered to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith." Verse 11, "Now may our God and Father himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Amen. Please turn to your neighbor and tell them we've got work to do. So roll up your sleeves. We've got work to do. All right, so as we started in chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in present." You see, the Thessalonians, they were questioning why Paul wasn't delivering this comfort in person. They were wondering, why did he send a letter? Do he not love us? Does he not care about us? And he knew that. He was like, there's a reason on why I'm sending this and not myself. "Not in the heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire." He said the reason of this letter was not lack of love or desire. And he gives us a reason on why he's doing this. He says, I'm not coming in person because I can't. Not because I don't love you, not because I don't care about you, but there is a reason. And in verse 18, he releases that reason. He says, "Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us." It's Satan's job to disrupt what God's plan for our lives is all about. It's Satan's job to do anything in his power to stop God and his mission towards us. And so you need to understand, when you are going through things in your life and there may be barriers that are getting in the way from you getting to that destination, just know, yes, it is us sometimes, but it is also Satan. Yes. For there is a person out there, a demon, who is stopping everything in your way to get to what God has for you in your life. And so verse 19, it says, "For what is our hope?" He stops there and says, yes, Satan may be hindering us, but you need to press on. You need to continue. And he says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" Let me go back just a bit and look at verse 18 again. I can't let this go. I'm sorry. Satan will try to hinder you from witnessing to others. If we're trying to be an evangelistic church, we are going to the world and proclaiming what the gospel is. Right. But Satan himself will get in the way. Yeah. Yeah. But no one said that evangelism would be easy. Look at John 10, verse 7 through 14. It says this, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.'" The thieves does not come expect to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, he who does not come out of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. And I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. You see, the thing is, Satan will come, and he will try and hinder you. He will try and make it seem as though his gifts to you are satisfying. But the thing is, he doesn't care about you, not one bit. But I do know a person who does care about you, and he is the good shepherd. See, Satan will make it his personal mission to tear down the church. But when Jesus calls us his own, what fear do we have? What fear might we have if he calls us his own? For I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Yes. Verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? It is not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. See, Paul reminds us, don't fear Satan. We have hope and joy in the fact of seeing God face to face. Look at this, the crown of rejoicing. See, the Bible speaks of many crowns awarded to believers. It's a symbolism of eternal life. Paul is reminding us, you will only have to endure this pain for a short amount of time. But in a miss, you need to look forward to the day we are gifted with a crown of eternal life. See, the trumpet will roar one day. The ground shall break. The sky will open wide. And when he comes riding on this horse, this great horse, that is when you will be gifted this eternal life. So when Satan comes and attacks you in our mission, hold fast. The day will come when you will reap what you sow. The day will come when you will reap what God has always directed you to be. And that is with him forever. Verse 20, for you are our glory and joy. Believe in that, that it will bring pride and joy as you practice this. See, Paul was telling his people, hey, I get it. I'm not there to see you. Satan will hinder us in this mission. But if you hold fast, if you stand still and see truly who God really is, and you put this into practice, you yourself are my pride and joy. Because I have taught you these things. I have taught you what to do. Let's move on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, I just want to pause right there. See, Paul was a spiritual father to the Thessalonians, to the church of Thessalonica. And so when you are a spiritual father and you're away from your children, imagine the pain and the agony that it brings. Remember at the moments when you sent your child away, whether it was to college or to get married, and they are no longer here. That pain and that agony that is there, you long for them. You long to see their presence. And here, Paul is longing for his people. The pain of being away from them was too much to bear. When he said, I can no longer endure it, I have to do something. I have to do something. And sometimes all of you do something. You just say, you know what, I got to get up and go. I got to go see them. The many times that my parents stopped by my college, I don't know why, but when to see me. And I understand their love for me. The many times that you got up to go and visit a friend because you haven't seen them in so long. You had that longing for them. Imagine the heart that you have for them. That I have missed you for so long, I need to come and see you. But Paul was not in the position to just get up and go. And so he sent Timothy. Verse 1, we thought it was good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother, a minister of God. In order to be an evangelistic church, you must first answer the call. I'm going to give you a list of things that our job as an evangelistic church is supposed to be, but before we even see the job description, we must first look at the application. And so the call, what might you be referring to, Marquise? Well, the call is in Matthew 28. And it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's the call.
Yes.
The call also comes from Ephesians 4. And it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Therefore is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all." That's the call. And what you need to determine is, if you want to be a part of this evangelistic movement that we're trying to build, you need to determine, is this the call that you want to answer? To go and to build disciples, to go and to baptize, to go and spread the gospel. That's the call. Are you willing to answer? Are you willing to answer the call? See, we are all called to be ministers of God. And so when you are a minister of God and you accept the call, then we get into the job description of the evangelistic church. This is our job. Timothy was a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Laborer means a worker in the fields.
Yes.
When we accept the call, we are being sent to the fields to sow seeds. Seeds that will grow to love. Seeds that will worship Christ. Seeds that will help when needed. Seeds of restoration. Seeds of rejuvenation. Seeds to transform a life around. We sow seeds of faith. But the seeds are in trouble. Look at Matthew 13. And it says this. Did I not add it? I probably didn't. It's fine. We have a Bible. Matthew 13. Let's go. Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9. And it says, look. Then he spoke many things to them, parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprung up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground." Others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. See, some may fall by the wayside. Some may be fallen in the stony places. Some may fall in the thorns, but rest assured, I see good soil. Rest assured, I see good ground that has been tendered by the Lord. We are being sent to spread the gospel so these seeds can sprout up. What is the gospel? I'm glad you asked. See, the gospel is that I was once dead in sin, but over 2,000 years ago, a man from Galilee did something that I could have never done myself. That's the gospel. And that later, 3 days later, his victory over death overpowered death. And now I was a lost sheep, but now I came home.
Yes.
That's the gospel. That I was lost, but now the shepherd came after and looked after me, went and searched for me. That's the gospel that we should be spreading to the world. If you truly want to be an evangelistic church, that's the first job description.
Yes.
To spread the gospel.
Yes.
That is our first job. In order for us to be an evangelistic church, you need to write these things down. We must spread the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
We must spread the gospel. That's job number one. Job number two. It is also our job to strengthen. Strengthen who? Look at your neighbor. Strengthen who? Look at the world. Strengthen who? The people you may hate in politics. Strengthen who? The people you may hate at your job. Yeah. Strengthen who? The people that you get so annoyed with day in, day out. Strengthen who? One another. Look at this. After a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, verse 2, to establish you. To establish you. It is our job to strengthen you. To build you up and to be who God has called you to be. That's our job. Look at Hebrews 13, 3. It says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. We are in this together. And so it is our job to strengthen one another, because this walk, this Christian walk that we're trying to lead, will not be easy. We are all going through a storm, but I'd rather go through this storm together with you.
Yes.
Yes. We must establish each other. And then job number 3. When you establish them, strengthen them, you also encourage them.
Yes.
To encourage. See, Timothy didn't just come to preach to the Thessalonians. He didn't just come to remind them about what God said. He came to remind them about their faith that they already had.
Yeah.
See, I am encouraging you to build yourself up and to remind yourself of what truly God has done already for you.
Yeah.
Don't give up the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Be not weary in well-doing. We must encourage one another. And I'm telling you, that is hard. Is it not? We are all humans. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all have sin and iniquity. And when we try to do what we want to do, we mess up everybody else's plans. But in the midst, God is still calling you. Calling you to encourage others. Concerning your faith. Yeah, you can encourage people. Oh, keep on going. The world is yours. Be who you want to be. No. The world is not ours. We cannot live the life that we want to live. We live the life that is laid out in the Bible. We live the life that is laid out by God. That's the life that we are encouraging you all to do. Verse 3, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Your next job is to uplift the tempted. Who is the tempted? We all are. Because day in and day out, we are tempted by Satan himself. We are tempted by each other. Are you kidding me? Some of you encouraged one another when you were young in your days. Let's go to the club. Let's go dancing at 3 o'clock in the morning. Not, and my family has told me nothing good happens at night time. Nothing good happens at that time. But we are being tempted. But it is your job to uplift each other who are being tempted. See, it was Timothy's job to remind them of what God told Paul concerning tribulations and afflictions. Look at Acts 9:10, and it says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias! And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the streets called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. See, right here, we are at the moment where Paul, well, his name is Saul in this moment, he's coming to the realization that I've done everything wrong. I have persecuted Christians left and right, but God has revealed himself to me. I'm completely blind right now. I don't know what's happening, but Lord, I am hearing you. And now he is sending a person to come and deliver him out of his distress. But look at this. Ananias, he says this. When he says, and in a vision, he has seen a man called Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard from many of these men. How much harm has he done to your saints in Jerusalem? He's like, whoa, I heard about this man. You want me to go and give his sight back? You want me to go and bless him? Are you kidding me? Let's back up for just a moment. What was our job? To strengthen, to encourage. Is Ananias doing that right now? He's being sent to do it. And so he goes on to say, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call your name. But the Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. See, turn to your neighbor and say, you've been a chosen vessel. You've been a chosen vessel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. The job is not going to be easy. He may have been chosen, but the journey is going to be hard. All of you, we are chosen, but the road is going to be hard. And so it is our job to uplift one another to go through this path. I told you, you got to roll up your sleeves. This is going to be a hard job. It's going to be a hard job. As we become an evangelistic church who spreads the gospel, strengthens, encourage others, you will suffer tribulation. We live in a world where people are so much all about themselves. It's all about me, 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 mine, all about me. And they live in this particular era that they don't take too kindly of being told how to live righteously. But Paul told them, I told you from the very beginning that you will suffer tribulations. Friendships will be broken. Relationships will come to an end. The desire and pleasures of this world will fade. This will not be easy, but it is so much worth it. I am telling you, if you want to be on this journey to be an evangelistic church, you're going to lose people in your life. You may have already lost people when you already accepted the call when he called you out of sin. You're going to lose people. Are you still willing to go? That's the question. Are you still willing to go? Verse 5, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith. See, we're still hearing Paul's longing for his people. Lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. This is why Timothy was sent. And this is why you are being sent. To uplift those who have been impacted by the tempter. That God's people may not fall back into where they have been delivered from. That's where we're at right now. That our job is to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, so we won't have to go back to the sin that we were already delivered from. Yes. All of us have a past. Yeah. All of us has a future. Yes. Do you want your past to be the same as your future? See, let me tell you a story. The disciples, they were on a storm. They were in the ship. They were halfway to their destination. The boat was rocking. The storm was really, really bad. The storm was raging. Some of them wanted to go back. See, the thing is, when you go back, it's the same distance as going back to your future. It's the same distance. Why do you want to go back when the future is calling your name? That's where we're at right now. You are headed to where God wants you to be. Yes. Don't go back to your past. Allow God to change your life so you can move to the future.
Yes. Yes.
That is why Timothy was sent, to remind them of this, to see what are they up to. But I have good news. Verse 6, but now that Timothy has come to us, Timothy came back and brought good news to Paul. And he said, now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have been good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. See, Paul had a desire for God's people so much that he sent Timothy to check up on them. But in fact, Timothy returned to Paul and said, nah, bro. Nah, they're good. They're real good. They're not worried. They have faith. See, when you have a desire for God's word and a desire for God's people, the actions that you provide will leave a lasting impression on others. I'll say that again. When you have a desire for God's word and a desire for God's people, both of those equations will turn your life so around that when you are impacted, others, their life is changed so much that they see a reflection of Christ in you. That's the goal. That's the goal. That Paul had an impression on them so much that even when he was gone for a long period of time, they still held faith.
Yeah.
Why? Because they said, what will Paul do?
Yeah.
And all of us should have that impression on our family and friends.
Yeah.
What should Marquise do in this situation? What should Deb do? What should Karen do? What should Dave do? All of us should have that impression. And if it's the same thing, oh, they will have faith, then you're doing your job.
Yeah.
But if they said, oh, they'll probably be worrying, you might want to evaluate what you're doing in your life.
Yeah.
If we are truly going to be an evangelistic church, it is time we start desiring one another to do better, to be better, to live and serve God better than we did before. Iron sharpens iron. I need you. You need me. I love that song. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. But what does it say? It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. But then what does the chorus say? I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with the words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. That is our job for one another.
Yes.
We cannot be an evangelistic church if you don't love others, if you don't care about others, if you don't support others, if you don't encourage others. If you're not a part of this game, the door is right there. Verse 7, therefore, brethren, in all our afflictions and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. Paul was excited. He was like, whoa, that is a heavy load off of my back. I am so glad that you are okay, that you are keeping your faith. Paul said, through all that I am going through, the faith that you have displayed has encouraged me to live out the faith God is calling for.
Yeah.
Your praise in the midst of your circumstance will help someone else's faith in the fire.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. Yeah. Your praise in the midst of your circumstances will help someone else's problem in the fire. You ought to grab your neighbor and grab them by the hand and tell them, we are in this together. We will walk by faith and not by sight. See, Matthew 17, it says this. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, whoa, 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 why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we not cast it out? This is what Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here, move to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. See, some of us have some mountains to move. Some of us have family mountains, financial mountains, relationship mountains, pornography mountains. Did I hit a nerve there? Drug mountains, homosexuality mountains, political mountains. But if we have faith in the man in the middle, then it's going to move. Then these mountains, these tribulations, these problems are going to move. But what do you need to have? Faith. Faith. Paul is encouraged and feels rejuvenated. But I love what he says. Now we live. Verse 8, for now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. Why do I need to fear? With faith in God, that's true living right there. That's true living right there. If I've done everything that I was supposed to do, if I encouraged people, if I supported them, strengthened them, if I was able to spread the gospel, that's what living is all about. Now we live, now we party. Paul is overjoyed. Look at what he says in 9. For what thanks can be rendered to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God? Rejoicing. Paul is rejoicing. And he says, rejoicing that remains steadfast. We ought to worship God on the behalf of others. See, the thing is, when people come to you and say, oh my God, I got a house, I got a car. Great. You clap for them, you're excited for them, but we ought to be excited for their spiritual progress. We ought to be excited when someone comes to Christ. We ought to be excited when they had a situation, but they said, I'm going to trust Lord first. We should have progress. We should have parties in that moment. I don't know why I want to party so much. You must remain faithful in these situations. And if you are, we all ought to come together and rejoice with you. And so Paul is happy, but then he quickly reminds them, whoa, okay, I'm so excited for you, but let's calm down because there's one important thing that I need to do for you. I need to pray for you. Verse 10, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Paul reminds them, this is not the end. There is still work to be done. Paul prayed night and day to see them. He cried, Lord, if it is your will, let it be done. Let me see them. That desire that Paul had for the Thessalonians is the same we should have for each other and for the world. That we should have a desire for the people you're sitting next to. That we should have a desire for the people in this room. That we should have a desire for those out there. Get on your knees and pray to God, Lord, let your will be done in our lives. Not just my own, in my family's life, in my friend's life, in my church's life. I want to be evangelistic, so I need to get on my knees and pray. Lord, I'm praying that you may perfect what is lacking in our faith. Whatever is missing, Lord, give it to us. That's my prayer today, that Lord, you send your presence to us and give us what we need. What is lacking in our faith? What is the key that we're missing to put our whole trust in you? What is it? You need to think about it for yourself. What is that one thing that is missing that you can't completely trust God? This is the job of the evangelistic church, to pray for us, to perfect our faith every day, to strive for righteousness and holiness, to spread the gospel, to strengthen, to encourage, to uplift the tempted, desire for God's people, walk by faith, and pray for others. That's the job. That's the job. And if we do all of these things, then this is what God is going to do. Verse 11, now. Before I even go further, that word noun. Noun, when we put this into practice, spreading the gospel, strengthening others, encouraging. Noun, when we uplift the tempted and build a desire for God's people. Noun, when we walk by faith and not by sight and pray for others. Noun, this is what the Lord is going to do. Paul makes this prayer and he says, may our God and Father himself. He makes it known. He makes it very known. I'm not praying to anybody else but to the person who has delivered me from my sin. God and God alone. And Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way to you. Direct our way to you. God said he will do this in Psalm 32. Look at this. He promised us. He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. If we do what we're supposed to do, then he's going to do what he's going to do. He will direct us, direct our way to him. Paul is asking God, redirect us when we go astray. I love the analogy when I always say God is our GPS. We put in the destination that he wants us to go and we're driving. But throughout life, you make a wrong turn. You will make a wrong turn. It's okay, but guess what? Once you make that wrong turn, redirecting, reloading, refigurating, God is going to do what he needs to do in your life to get you to that destination. He will direct our way to him. But then Paul goes on and say, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. He's asking, Lord, give us love that we may portray it to others. See, the thing is, you can't love others until God has loved you. You won't properly know how to love someone until God has wrapped his arms around you, embraced you, taught you how to love yourself. See, the thing is, day in and day out, the whole world gets into these relationships and they always say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But do you really know what that truly means? The only way God truly loves you is because, one, he first loved you before you even created.
Yeah, that's right.
But then he decided to sacrifice his life for you. So, the person that you have married or you're in a relationship with, are you willing to sacrifice your life for me? And you need to determine that. Am I willing to sacrifice my life for you? Because that is what Christ did for us. But he did much more than your partner could ever do.
Yes.
Not only did he sacrifice his life for us, he paid a price that no other person could do. And by my God, that is the gospel, that he laid down his life for a friend. And that friend is yet a sinner, but I love him so. I love him so. Because even at the times that I did not deserve his love, he still wrapped me in his arms. increase and abound in love, so that he may establish your heart blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Paul is getting on his knees and crying out for his people, Lord, I want them to be whole. I want them to be changed. I want their lives to make a difference. And so if you are truly ready to be the evangelistic church that we're calling for, this is what we need to do. We need to get ourselves in order. It is time for us to roll up our sleeves and go. It is time for you to get up out of your seat and go. It is no longer time for you to be at home. No longer time for you just to show up on a Sunday, get rejuvenated. Oh, I'm so holy, I get to go through the week. No, it is time to move. Are you ready? Are you ready? And so that's what we need to do. But it first starts with us. How dare us go out into the world if we're not fixed ourselves? And so it starts with the heart changed, and it starts with all of you. We all need each other to survive. We all need each other to walk the path that God has laid out for us. Are you ready? Amen.